Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast in association with Acorns Children's Hospice. Cole Petum here as always, and of course we're here to talk all things Aston Villa, with Villa losing 1-1 or 2-1 on penalties, I guess you could say, to Chelsea in the third round of the Carabao Cup at Stamford Bridge. A result really that you'd have to look at it and sit back and say, you know what, you can be a very proud Villa fan with the amount of youth and exciting talent that were on feature today. A few kind of concerns with the injury bug, but always to be a Villa fan this season with the injury bug. But nonetheless, it's not just me here. If it was, it'd probably be a little bit depressing after a loss. But of course, we have Sebastian Bacon here and Tom Nightingale as well. So I'll go to Tom first. Tom, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad, really. I thought Villa were putting in a tremendous account of themselves today. I know it wasn't Chelsea's first team, but to go toe-to-toe with them, I thought we had the better of the chances in the first half. And so to go toe-to-toe with them for like 90, 95 minutes, they have to resort to bringing Lukaku, Mason Mount, Ross Barkley off the bench to try and win the game. And they still can't, you know, they still can't beat us. And then you go into the lottery, the penalty shootout. I don't know. You can't be too disappointed. I mean, I'm sure some people can be, but I don't think you can be too disappointed with that, really. It's one of those that there's so many positives to take moving forward. I think it's just a shame that the cup run has to end slightly earlier this year, or a lot earlier this year.
Absolutely. Well, to be fair, I think we were lost at this kind of point last season to Stoke. So, you know what? It is what it is. Top six is on the cards now, at least, or at least we'll win the FA Cup, as most people kind of try to take some kind of positive spin on this one. But Seb, how's it going with you?
Yeah, it was actually a really exciting game to watch. I think Cameron Archer's goal, a brilliantly taken finish. Yeah, like Tom said, there's many positives to take, but it's never nice to exit a cup competition, is it?
No, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. I think I've only seen Villa get to two cup finals in my life, and they've lost both. So it is what it is. That being the smashing against Arsenal, and of course, the last season against Man City. But you know what, it is what it is. Maybe it's a little bit more sour for some Villa fans now when they look at the draw and you see that Chelsea have now gotten Southampton, and of course West Ham beat United, of course, and now they face Man City. But knowing our luck, we would have had to face Man City. They would have just put that kind of story with Grealish right in that, and it would have just been off to the races in terms of media day on that one, I'm sure, on that. But anyways, let's dive into this one. Of course, goals from Timo Werner in the 54th minute. And of course, Cameron Archer getting his, I think this is his fourth in the cup already, on the 64th minute with a beautiful ball from Matty Cash. Chelsea, of course, winning 4-3 on penalties. And I don't know, guys, where do you want to start on this one? Maybe we could do this in reverse. I would like to maybe start on the penalties first. And maybe that's a weird place to start, but I want to get the one negative, if I had one today, and maybe that was penalty selection. I love Marvelous Nakamba. I love him very much, but why is that man taking a penalty? And Tom, I'm going to throw you right under the bus. What were your thoughts on the penalties and who was taking them in particular?
I mean, I saw something on the wonder that is social media immediately after the game. I saw a couple of fans calling out 19-year-old goal scorer Cameron Archer for not stepping up to take a penalty in the shootout. I mean, I agree, like Nakamba wouldn't be high on my list of penalty takers in a shootout, but I think probably a large part of it, I was feeling a bit concerned when it looked like we were going to head towards the penalty shootout because of the number of sort of kids that we had on the pitch. You know, we had Carney on the pitch, we had Archer on the pitch, we had JPB on the pitch. And I think a fair amount of it, honestly, is protecting those kids, because I mean, we saw from the Euros final with England the kind of okay, that was a much bigger occasion, obviously, and with a much larger media spotlight, but we've seen the stigma, I suppose, or the backlash that can come from missing crucial penalties. And for kids like that, it's a heavy, heavy weight to have on your shoulders as a 19-year-old, a 20-year-old, a 17-year-old, you know, however old you are. So, you know, I don't necessarily subscribe to the belief that you should analyze penalty shootouts too much, because I do think it is pretty much a lottery. Like, we all knew that Anwar El Ghazi was going to convert his ice cold. Like, that was a given. We were 1-0 up as soon as I saw him step up. Konsa with an excellent one, I think, as well. The main disappointment for me, I think, from the shootout was that I felt that Jed Steer, for all of the heroics we saw against West Brom, obviously, like, we won the penalty shootout that matters most, I will say, in the last few years. But I thought Steer was showing himself a bit early with, you know, which way he was going to go. But, I mean, I'm overanalyzing it when I said I wouldn't want to. It's a lottery. And at the end of the day, it would have been a much worse in my book had that horrible bounce off Axel Tuanzebe gone in to the goal in injury time. That would have been a much worse way to lose a game that we did not deserve to lose.
Yeah, 100%, because then we'd be sat here going, well, if we went to penalties, then we probably could have won. But yeah, no, last 5 minutes was nervous, to say the least. On to the penalties. I think it's a really difficult one. I think Smith is put in a lose-lose situation here, because you either play the experienced players and they miss, which is what happened on this occasion, and you're going, well, Archer scored, he looked ready, Chukwuemeka ran the show, so could he have stepped up? But then if he plays them and they miss, like Tom said, then, you know, the backlash could be even worse than what it was tonight. And I don't think it's been that bad tonight. I think people have appreciated how well we played, and the fact that in two games against Chelsea, we've probably been the better side on 3 out of 4 halves of football. So, look, there's positives to come. And again, touching on Steer, I'm not in a position to moan at goalkeepers in a penalty shootout. I think, you know, they have it the hardest. And if we were to save one, perfect, it would have gone to sudden death, but it wasn't to be on this occasion. It's not like Chelsea's penalties were bad, but, you know, if we analyse it too much, as Tom said, then we'll be stuck about on ifs, buts and maybes for the rest of the evening, probably.
Like with the kids as well, just one other thing is that, you know, like with Cameron Archer is a great example. Like, what we're doing here is we're bedding him into the team, giving him that confidence. He's grabbing his chances with both hands. Carney as well, like Philogene Bidace. They're all, every time they play, they look like they are settling into the team and they're gaining confidence. Like, do you really want to throw them up in a penalty shootout and present them with the very real risk of burning that confidence to the ground and having to start over again? Like, it's not, for me, it's not worth it. I know that Nakamba, nobody would consider him a penalty expert, but if Nakamba misses, you imagine it's not going to be such a crushing blow as it would be for like a teenager who is building their way up, you know.
One good thing I'd take from this, and one crucial point I'd take from this, is I don't want this to be the last we see of Cameron Archer in and around the first team until the FA Cup. I think the FA Cup starts in January, but, you know, Archer's proved that he's a proven goal scorer. If he can get on the bench and get some Premier League minutes under his belt, that will only help him in the long run. Same as Chukwuemeka, Philogene Bidas. I think these players could cause some Premier League teams some trouble, and it gives us another option whilst our injuries are piling up by the day, it seems, as our hamstrings are made of poppadoms. You know, it's nice to have a youth selection that is genuinely capable of stepping up and competing, because Ings and Watkins, all right, they're probably in the team, but they've got to be looking at Archer and going, well, hold on, if we don't perform, we could get taken out for Archer. He's proved it on occasions against, you know, the champions of Europe and Barrow, that he can score goals consistently. I think it's 4 goals in 2 games. So it's not like it's going to be a comfortable ride for those two. And I hope he gets in and amongst the first team more.
I can say one thing, guys. When Chelsea draw Barrow in the first round that they're going to be in, they better watch out, because they're going to get absolutely smashed. And then it all comes full circle and we feel better. Only kidding. But to be honest, you have to look at someone like Cameron Archer, in my opinion, and the runs that he makes are so smart for someone of his age. And to be honest, I don't really think you could tell the difference between the runs that he would make or Ings or Watkins, to be honest. They're that purposeful, they're that direct, and they have an instant impact. And of course, he could have had two goals himself in the first half. And it's really, it's not crazy to say we could have easily been up 2-0 in the first half. And to be honest, I thought we really took it to them when it mattered most. Of course, it's Chelsea. They're going to have times when they dominate the ball. And I can see why some people get a little annoyed with that and think, okay, some of that kind of shakiness can kind of creep in again. But the one thing I've noticed, especially last season and this season in particular, and the best thing about kind of embedding these youngsters in, is we're having more ebbs and flows of the game rather than, okay, let's hold on for it and hopefully nick one thing. We're taking it two teams. And I think really the next step is to finish more of those chances. And the one thing I did want to kind of bring out, when you look at your Archers, Philogene Badeses, Chukwuemeka's, et cetera, is these are arguably the players that you're going to look to and hopefully, you'd hope they probably feature every season from now on, but realistically in the next 2, 3, 4 seasons, these are probably the players that are going to replace your Buendias, eventually your Leon Baileys of this world, not particularly in those positions, obviously, but those calibers. We're putting players and embedding them through our youth academy, so we don't have to spend 30, 40, 50 million every time to replace one player. So I think kind of bringing them in gently, allowing them to kind of get into big game atmospheres at Chelsea in a cup, it's just, in my opinion, just as important as kind of going into a Premier League game against anybody else, in my opinion. But Tom, do you have anything to add on to that?
It's just, like with the team selection today, like it's very, I've seen a pretty even split between people being happy with the team, nice mixture of experience and youth. And then there's people who, I understand the call to play your strongest team and to go for it because cup competition might be our best chance of getting into Europe or whatever, but then you can't have it both ways, right? Those would be, a lot of those people would be the people who would be shouting that people like Archer, Chukwuemeka, Philogene Badeses aren't getting the chances. And I mean, after what Archer did in the last round, okay, it was only Barrow, but who, you know, how does the coaching staff then turn around and say to him, sorry, no, we're not going to get any Premier League minutes for the foreseeable future. And, you know, also not going to get the cup minutes. Like you have to continue this. Villa are in a great position at the moment where we have like a conveyor belt of talent, I would say, coming through. I've never known anything like it as a Villa fan. Like these are the kids who were in the under 23s last year, and now they're playing at the home of the European champions. Okay, Chuck and Philogene Badeses only came off the bench, but I thought they both looked pretty good when they came on. And you know, if you've got kids coming off the bench and looking at ease and looking more at ease every time they play, then that is what makes me most excited about the future of our club. It's not spending, you know, 30 million on another midfielder. Like it's a good example that you were saying about filling the value, like Jacob Ramsey. If we'd have signed a midfielder this summer, I know Ramsey didn't play today, but if we'd have signed a midfielder this summer for 30 million, who looks how Ramsey has looked in his last few games, we would be hailing that as an incredible signing. We have these players in the making. It's then just a question of, do you spend the time on them and develop them, or do you try to fill your first team with immediate stars and therefore shut the door in the face of the youth players?
Yeah, massively. Like it's a tricky one because, like, I mean, and this is kind of going off just from the Chelsea result, but like, we're never really going to please everybody. Like eventually everyone wants that 100 million pound player. Of course they do. But at the end of the day, you have arguably, especially this season, what, at least 4 or 5 youth products that have come through the academy, or of course have been purchased to kind of slot into it at some point. And you know what, it's working to a treat. I know there's going to be misses. There always is. Not everyone's a hit. I think right now we're just going through a lot of hits right now. So at the end of the day, I mean, you look at this result and you look at the Chelsea side they put out, you look at Saul, they had to bring on Lukaku. I mean, the list goes on and on. You still had to think Hudson-Odoi out there as well. Chelsea's second side is a probably at least a mid-table Premier League side, you'd have to say, on a good day. I mean, Kepa aside, no offense, I don't still rate him. But regardless of that, you're looking at 18, 19-year-olds that are going toe-to-toe with arguably some of the best in Europe and the European champions of last year. So I think we all have to kind of take that into context. And I mean, it's mental to think that you have what Cameron Archer's 18 years old and he's going up against European champions and succeeding. And that was one hell of a header, an even better ball. And you know what? It's crazy to say, to be honest, if he hit all his targets, it would have been a second hat trick in a second EFL Cup game, which is mental to have to say the least. So I think what we're getting at is young Cameron Archer has one hell of a future as well as the other young prospects that we've kind of been rambling on about for the last few minutes. But to get back into the game and to let Seb actually talk, because I know he loves to have a little bit of a chit chat. Seb, if you're going to look at, and I know, I think maybe Danny was saying this in our group chat, and maybe the one or two players that kind of let us down today, was there any that kind of stood out for you? Maybe as kind of another negative we can kind of look at to maybe appease some of the fan base that aren't happy?
Probably our most experienced players on the pitch. I think Young struggled today, but he was up against Hudson-Odoi for majority of the game, and Hudson-Odoi probably got the better of him on majority of occasions. Just his raw pace alone was enough to cause Young problems. But touching back on the youngsters quickly, and I'm going to put a dampener on things here, but it's so important to not put too much pressure on them, because you've seen it before of teams have an influx of youngsters come through and, you know, pressure gets put on them and it's almost like they're going to succeed 100% and anything else is a failure. You know, some of the lads that are shining at the moment won't make it for the Villa first team, and they'll be released and it will end in heartbreak for them, and they'll go and ply their trade in the Championship or in League One and probably do very well. But it's just important to not apply so much pressure on them, which is what I think Dean Smith handles brilliantly. I think he knows how to get the best out of young players and how to work them into the team without overwhelming them almost. But yeah, going back to your point, probably the most experienced players on the pitch today that let us down.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I think I said this in our group chat too. You'd probably look at El Ghazi maybe, and Ashley Young is probably the two if you're going to say. And realistically, they're probably some of the players that may not even be around at the start of next season. You would probably say Ashley Young because of his age. Who knows? And El Ghazi just kind of seems like at this point he's a backup, that how long is he going to be really happy with that? So we'll have to wait and see, and that's a whole different topic. But then again, it's players that are stepping up to the plate where, okay, maybe player A and player B had a poor game, but you look at some of the other players and they just take the light right off of them, and you maybe kind of, it kind of hides some of that insecurity and some of the cracks. And I mean, every side's always going to have cracks, unfortunately, unless you're Man City and you just try to spend 100 million on every player. I'm still not bitter, but regardless, Tom, do you have anything to say? Because I'm running out of things to say.
I think touching on, talking about the players' performances, and because Seb mentioned Dean Smith, like one thing I think games like today really show, we're hailing like Chuck Rumaker and Philogene Badesa, like the talents that they clearly seem to be. And I agree completely with Seb, you don't want to put too much pressure on these players. But how amazing is it now that we're in a position where I know Buendia played today and you'd like to think he's in our first team, you know, when he's fully fit and he's been playing. But like Chukwumaker and Philogene Badesa, two of our biggest talents, like on the bench for our second team, like that's how deep our team is. Like Bertrand Traore, for example, today playing with Bailey. Sounds like Bailey's going to be absent at United. I would love to see Bertrand Traore start at Old Trafford. I thought he was really good today. And it obviously can be a bit hit and miss. But he looks like he's got a point to prove and he's keen to, you know, really compete for that starting place. And that is what, A, you really want to see as a fan. And also it's what I really feel Villa haven't really had that for a while, or certainly not to the same extent that we have now. And so that competition for places is just fantastic. And I think a part of that has to go down to Dean Smith and the coaching staff, because I think most of the players who started today have improved significantly, tangibly, since they joined us, or at least, you know, in the last sort of 18 to 24 months. And you have to give credit there, I think, to the coaching staff. Players like Courtney Hawes in defense, I thought was colossal today. Even when Lukaku came on, I thought he was excellent. Tuan Zebi was excellent. I know he hasn't been here. He's been back at United for a bit, but I thought he was a bit rusty in the league game at Stamford Bridge, but I thought he was excellent today. But players like Bertrand Traoré have improved a lot since we were first seeing them, you know, in their first months. And obviously part of that is just settling in, but a lot, you have to give credit to the coaching staff where credit is due, I think. And it's that, I really feel like with Villa these days, we're playing the long game, both in terms of youth and also in just building up the members of our squad, even the ones who aren't the nailed on starters every week, like you'd consider like an Ollie Watkins to be or a Tyrone Mings to be. Even these fringe squad players, you can tell that we're a club who cares about improving every member of the squad. And I really think today, games like today, it shines through.
Massively. I mean, if you look at the squad that featured last year, Lansbury, Taylor, I love Elmo, but you have to kind of throw him in there as well. But, Tom, I thought you were going to say something.
I agree. I was going to say, you mentioned Henry Lansbury, just because you mentioned him. How cursed is Villa's number 8 shirt? What is going on? What are we going to do about this, boys? Because we've had the last good number 8 Villa have had was Idrissa Gueye in the year that we went down, and he was like probably our standout performer in midfield the year that we got relegated. And since then, it's been, you know, Aaron Tshibola, Tom Carroll on loan, I believe, Henry Lansbury, and now Morgan can't string any minutes together, Sanson. Like this is an issue. Let's retire the number 8. We can do like a 9+. We can do a, you know, a 7+1, whatever on the shirt.
Yeah, instead. I was thinking actually, instead of doing that, you could give him the 8, but like every time, just put like a little piece of tape or an extra print that says like -0.5 or something. So he's like 7.5 or something. I don't know. Just something to redo the hoodoo.
You boys are really over confusing it. Why not just give him a completely different number?
That's true. Yeah, that's it. That's what we should do. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe he really likes the number 8. But anyways,
I just to touch on Sanson, I feel so bad for that lad. Like, I thought he looked really, really classy in the first half. Was really slotting in well. And you were thinking, hey, you know, if we can keep him fit and give him more minutes, then if you look at having Luiz, McGinn, JJ Ramsey, Nakamba, and Sanson and Chukwuemeka as your central midfield options, that is a stacked central midfield. For a mid-table to hopefully pushing for Europe team.
It's fun having a decent side, to be honest. I don't know if I've ever seen this, and it's been a long time. I mean, I come from the days of McLeish and Lambert, and somehow I still like this team. So regardless of that, it's a miracle. But guys, let's get over to some 3-word reviews on Twitter. So of course, after every game, or I try every game, I should say, because sometimes I forget, I go on Twitter and ask you guys for some 3-word summaries or reviews on every game. So thank you to, I think there's nearly 50 of you that I got involved so far, literally right after the game. So many were coming in, so it's great to see support. I'll just read out a few now. So Josh Burley saying, future is bright in all caps. Jesse Campbell, Cameron effing Archer, Joe Brown, that's not 3 words, sorry, I was gonna read that. Rich AVFC saying squad much stronger. Tom Holder, strength in depth. We'll read 2 more out here. Luke Frost, gutted, so unlucky. And we'll finish with George Templeton saying gutted but proud. And that's probably the best way to sum that up. And we're going to talk about United here in a brief moment. But before that, guys, I want to get your man of the matches. So, Tom, I'll throw it to you. Put you right under the pressure hot seat, whatever you want to call it, to put you under the hot heat of what the whole cast means. So who was your man of the match?
Straight in, eh? I thought going, there's a few. If I had to pick and not ramble on, I would probably pick, with shouts to Cameron Archer, I would probably pick Bertrand Traoré until he went off, I have to say. I thought he was a real hub of attacking creativity for us. And it's that with Traoré, you never quite know what you're going to get. But when he's, you know, when he's running with the ball at his feet and he's on it and it comes off and doesn't end in the ball sort of drifting out of play, then he is quite the... he's quite the proposition, I think. And I, like I said, I'd love to see him get a start at Old Trafford on Saturday. I think if we're going to try and take the game to United.
Yeah, massively. I can't wait until we'll say we're 1-0 up. We're kind of just holding all things back, defending to the ninth degree. Ronaldo decides that he's going to actually try to defend a last-ditch tackle because we're on the break to make it 2-0. And then Traore nutmegs and makes it 2-0. I foresee the future. But anyways, that's probably the most creative I've ever been with a goal. But Seb, who was your man of the match?
Yeah, like Tom said, I mean, I don't want to ramble on too much, but there's a few in there with shouts. Traore, Sansun, obviously, until he came off. Archer, just purely for the incredible header he got. And then I think shouts between House and Twanzabi. I think they marshalled Werner very, very well. You know, he, for all people say about his misfortune in front of goal, he's a very good striker and a very quick one and can easily cause the defence problems. Not only that, they bullied Lukaku when he came on as well. They pushed him out and they didn't really give him a sniff. And I can't remember which one it was. I think it was House who made the last ditch tackle on Lukaku when he was one-on-one with Jed Steer. I can't remember who it was, but whoever that was, I'll give my man of the match to, so we can always probably look back and change.
Yeah, TBD on that one. I think it is Haas, but it's either him or Tuanzebe. I know it wasn't Konsa for sure, but if I was going to give an honorary one, it has to be for Dean Smith for changing the formation as soon as Lukaku came on. To be honest, I can't remember how many times Villa have changed formation probably past halftime, and it's actually done something positive, so... fair play to him for doing that. It's showing that we actually have options and some tactical prowess. So thank God for that. And we're not parking the bus against a team like Man City anymore, which is very nice to see. I mean, to be determined. But anyways, I'm going to have to give mine to Cameron Archer. I mean, I think it's kind of the Cameron Archer fan club right now for this episode. Maybe that'll be a good title. But I mean, to kind of impact the game the way he did, the bullet header, the chances he had in the first half. And like I said before, just the runs and the options and just kind of creating space with the movement he was making. I think for someone his age going up against Chelsea and being away at Stamford Bridge, it's definitely a good start. And hopefully that's kind of a thing that you would long continue with. But anyways, guys, let's briefly touch on United here. They just lost in the Cup 1-0 to West Ham. So, Seb, I'll pass it to you. Does that mean they're going to take it out on us?
Yes, 100%. I think I mentioned this before. I don't think I've ever seen Villa beat United in my lifetime. So, I mean, you've got to start somewhere, right? You know, no better than Ronaldo's return to Old Trafford. If we could put a little dampener in their title hopes, then I wouldn't be one to complain. But look, I can't see it happening. United probably... the biggest bogey team Villa have right now. However we play, regardless of how good we are, they always seem to get a result against us. With Mike Dean being the referee, it'll be interesting to see how many penalties Bruno and Ronaldo fight over. You know, it could be a hat-trick of penalties, and I wish I was joking. But yeah, no, it's going to be a difficult occasion. Old Trafford's rocking right now, obviously. Not tonight because they got knocked out of the cup, but league-wise, Old Trafford is rocking. The fans seem to be getting behind the team, and it's a very, very difficult place to go.
Listen, like if Mike Dean as ref, everyone likes to talk about how he likes to make things about himself. May I offer a piece of advice to Mike Dean? Like, if you really want to make the game about yourself on Saturday, the best thing to do would be to deny Ronaldo and Bruno Fernandes all of their penalties and give 2, maybe 3 to us. That'd be my recommendation to Mike if you're listening. Thanks.
Well, there you go. I don't know. It's a tough one, and I mean, it's kind of weird. I feel more confident going away to United than I do them coming to us, because for some reason it seems like we play them better away than we do at home. At least I can think from memory. At least it's a little bit closer. And I think we drew against them away not too long. Was it the first season back? I'm pretty sure, if I'm thinking correctly. When Grealish scored that screamer. So he's been brought up twice already today. We'll see if that happens still in a year, probably. But regardless, it's a tough one. And I think it's one of those things where you have to look at it too and say, is this team going to be as resolute as it was against Everton? I think, to be honest, I think if we stick to that game plan, we're going to make it very difficult for them. And I would assume we're going to play three at the back. You look at Matty Cash, he went off relatively early in the second. Players were kind of being subbed off here and there, and you kind of have to think a lot of those were in mind. And I think that kind of falls into the thing where some people are wondering why you don't have Ings or even Watkins on the bench. And to be honest, I kind of like that in the sense that we almost go into United fresh, all guns blazing, and we can kind of put two sides in different mindsets. And you know what? You got Buendia fitness, so he kind of come, you can come in as an option. But to be honest, I look at the side that we put out against Everton. I don't know, guys, if you would really change anybody. Tom, how do you feel?
Well, I mean, I know I was saying earlier about, like, I would like to see Bertie Traore given the start. But, like, the problem is, if you're going to... I think Traore, if he starts, he's going to start as a winger. Like, there's been some talk of maybe seeing him as like a number 10, but I don't really think we're going to see that very, very, you know, very soon. So then if you play Traore, you have to play another winger. And if you're going to play two wingers, you can't play five at the back, really. And you're also knocking yourself down to two-man midfield, probably. I would say that given how recent games have gone, a better bet would be to probably stick with the five at the back, have Matty Cash or the Polish Cafu, as I believe he was dubbed at Stamford Bridge today, bombing down the right. And then based on tonight, you just, you swap Courtney in for Axel at the back, because obviously Tuanzebe can't play. And then you have the three in midfield, which again, for me, is probably going to be McGinn, Luiz and Ramsey. I think that's been an excellent trio for us in recent weeks. Watkins and Ings, we've said before on this podcast, add a lot of dynamism up front, drifting wide, support play, like they between the two of them, they do a lot. So I think, as much as I was going on earlier about Traore starting, I sort of don't really see how you do that without really upsetting the apple cart. And I'm not sure that's really the best thing to do going into Old Trafford when you've played five at the back the last couple of league games and it's generally worked pretty well. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, well, the one thing too, is if you're going to play with wingers, Bailey's most definitely out, which is probably the biggest shame. And I was saying to you guys in the chat, I feel like he's going to be one of those players that, like, he'll come on for spurts throughout the season and do well, but then he'll be gone in a year and somehow healthy for whoever he plays for next. It just feels like one of those, you have to kind of enjoy him while he's here. But yeah, if you're going to play with wingers, then you're going to have to go with El Ghazi. And to be honest, I love Anwar. He does have his games. I don't know if you do that away against United. But to be fair, though, if we do somehow get a penalty, it does maybe pay. I don't know. It's a gamble either way. But Seb, how does it all break down for you?
Yeah, look, I think Tom's right. We hit a snag at Everton with a five at the back and it really worked. So I don't think you change that. Plus, obviously, adding in, you know, the fact that they have the attacking prowess of Greenwood, Ronaldo, Pogba, Fernandes, all who have very good goal scoring records against us in particular. I think a three-man midfield is vital without wingers, because ultimately that's where the game will be won and lost for each team, is in midfield. If we can break through that, then I think we have a good chance of getting through their defence. However, it's just about how we keep out their midfield, which I think will be more crucial for us than anything going forward.
Massively. So I guess if we're going to, before we wrap things up, I should say, I don't know how confident we all feel. I don't know. Seb was listing off a bunch of players and I felt less confident as the names are rolling out. So Seb, I'll throw it right back to you. Give me a score prediction.
I hate to be all doom and gloom, but 3-0 United.
Tom?
3-1 United. Ronaldo's going to score at least once. Let's just be realistic about that. I think we'll score. I do think we'll score. I think we've been showing enough, even with Bailey out. Like, Watkins and Ings are clearly getting a feel for playing with each other. So I think we'll probably score, but it's going to be 3-1, I think, to United.
I feel like I should say 3-2 United, just to have the score keep marginally going up. But see, I'm in a predicament. My heart says 2-1 Villa, but knowing how it's going to go, we're going to score the first goal early. Then United's going to get a penalty in about the 70th minute, and then it's all just going to go absolutely kind of up the creek from there, I guess you could say in polite terms. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to have to probably go with I'll go 2-1 United. Unfortunately, we don't have things. We don't have nice things when we play United usually. But who knows? Other teams have beaten them. I can think of West Brom several seasons ago. I can think of Newcastle. I think it was in the last couple seasons, I think. So you never know. We're going to have our day eventually. I don't think they can beat us forever. But we'll have to wait and see. But if you guys don't have anything else, Tom and Seb, we'll wrap things up.
I think the only thing that I would say is I think we've got to take the good moments as they come, right? So like today at Chelsea, it's disappointing the way it's worked out, whatever. But you think about like the Louis Barry goal against Liverpool in the FA Cup last year. That was a really isolated moment in time where we had to play a team of kids because of the situation, and Louis Barry scored, and it was an incredible moment. Now I feel like with our youth team, with our youth players and the production line we have, we're getting those moments, if not week by week, then certainly month by month. Like with Chukwuemeka making his Premier League debut and slotting in, like Cameron Archer, there's an awful lot to be excited about. And sometimes you do just have to look at the bigger picture, I think, than how a penalty shootout turns out. So that's my final note.
Fair enough. Seb, any final words?
No.
Fair enough. And up the Villa, do you want to give that? There you go.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, who knows? We might win 1-0 with a Cameron Archer thunder strike, but Tom bringing up Louis Barry's goal has made me all reminiscent of... That was probably the goal I celebrated most last season, by the way. And we had some good goals to celebrate, but that's brought a positive memory to my mind.
That's the thing, just similar, like that away end today, Archer scoring in front of that away end, like it's sometimes it's about the moments to celebrate, right? It's a long season and we're going to have lots more of those sorts of moments, I think. So I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, and I mean, someone as young as him, that's something you grew up wanting to do, like celebrating in front of a mass amount of fans. And hopefully it's the first of, I guess it's the fourth of many for him in this cup competition. But, you know, you guys all know what I mean. But anyways, guys, we'll wrap it up there. We've definitely been going on for more than long enough. So thank you to Tom and to Seb for joining me. Of course, if you want to follow any of us on Twitter, of course, those are in the descriptions below of wherever you're getting this podcast. And of course, wherever you're listening, if they have a review system set up, if it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Google Podcasts, yada, 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 I could list off like 100. I couldn't, but you know what I mean. Regardless, leave a positive review. It's very much appreciated, and it's easier for others to find us in that purpose. But anyways, we'll leave it at that. And of course, if you want to check it, I should say Acorns, their link is also in the description. You can learn how to donate, get involved with them. And we should have more information on how you can get involved with the other kind of thing we have going on with them very soon. But anyways, I'll stop ranting, I should say. You can tell it's past the workday for me, and I've been staring at a screen for too long. So I'll shut up. I'll leave it there. And don't forget, up the Villa.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.